forgot to take my phone out of my pocket, so I had to do that. And then on the way back, I forgot to get my suit coat. So you're going to be stuck with that because I'm not going to walk back one more time. Praise the Lord for that. And thank you. I hope you had a good lunch, and thank you for being back. You know, I was telling the people on Wednesday night, we put an air conditioner up here for the choir and stuff because it gets mighty warm up here. But this air conditioner fouls movement. So I'm going to get a little movement up here when I start preaching, when that gets hooked up. So if you see me jiving a little bit up here, it's because I'm hot. And I want the air to come on me. So if I start moving up here, you'll know it's to cool me down. Praise the Lord for that. Zechariah, I know the kids. I didn't know it was contingent on me getting done on time. So let's get right into it so I can be done on time and the kids can get into their activity. Try to make it at 2 o'clock, but Zechariah comes on the scene. A number of you have been reading it, and I thank you for that. I appreciate that. And some of you have been reading it with a commentary alongside it. Very well done. And to learn from it. But again, Zechariah comes on the scene. Haggai did his job and got him motivated to rebuild the temple after 15 years of being quiet. You know, I know you hear this every week, but I'm going to put it in your brain. And put it in your brain and put it in your brain. And then 2 months later, Zechariah comes on the scene. Now, 3 months, a month later, Haggai delivers what I consider one of the greatest messages, motivated messages that I've ever heard. We'll review that in just a second. But then Zechariah, though after 2 months, before that second message comes, he delivers a message. But it's to the whole folks. But if you read verses 1-6, just to read it, you're not going to gather that much out of it. But I've studied it and read it and reread it because there's a lot of things happening in verses 1-6. And Zechariah, you know, again, does anybody remember how we think Zechariah died? He was stoned to death between the temple and the altar. And I'm beginning to understand why they could have wanted to stone him. He told it like it was. And he said, so the first thing he did, and you'll find this in verses 1-6, all of this, if you read it and reread it, but he talks about God judges sin. Because there were some folks that came down, and he laid them out. You came down, a part of the 43,000 that came down to rebuild the temple, and you're not doing it. You came down with the wrong reasons of mind. You left Babylon because you wanted to get out of Babylon. You wanted a fresh start, a new life. You wanted a chance to get your own business. You wanted just a restart. So you joined the crowd that came down. But the reason the remnant came down was to what? Rebuild the temple. Rebuild Jerusalem. Bring Jerusalem back into what is the city of God, Zion. And so he said, if you're not rebuilding the temple, if you're not helping, involved in it, it is what? Sin. It's sin. And so if we translated that today, pretty bold, but if you're not being a part of faith or a church, it doesn't have to be Faith Baptist Church, but you're not being a helping part of church, not trying to build the church, not trying to do a cause for Christ, you're just living your life, living your dream, but you're born again Christian, you know what it is? It is sin. I hate to tell you that, but it's the truth. Because God, you were saved with a purpose in mind. That purpose is to glorify God. I know that, but God saved you. And he has a job for you to do. And it's to impact lives. And I'm not talking you have to be a preacher. You can impact lives in your neighborhood. You can impact lives in your family. You can impact lives wherever you go, at work. Man, Larry has given me the greatest stories. His greatest impact is the letters he writes to people. And talk about, I'm telling you, not only I found out he's a very good teacher, he's a great letter writer. And if I'm ever mad at somebody and need to write him a letter, I'm going to have him write it, and then I'll proof it and send it. Tremendous, but he's used that as a ministry to get the gospel out. And when he gets it, he lays right out the Romans Road and the plan of salvation to people who wouldn't listen to him at work for years. I don't know what God has in store for you. But if you're not working toward that direction, you're just doing your own thing, it is sin. You don't like to hear it. People don't like to hear it. Now, you're the last person I should be telling this because you're here. Some of you are here for your third service today already. But you know what I'm talking about. There's some people out there that probably are born again, but they're just going through the motions, just living their own lives. They're not concerned about the church. They're not concerned about Christ. They're not concerned about knowing the Bible, reading the Bible. They're just not concerned. Well, I'm telling you, it's sin. So he picks the first group and says, it is sin. But then he picks a second group, and that's what we covered last week. The second group that he covered, and he talked about this, and the phrase was, past judgments are a warning for us to turn from sin. The idea is, you need to be committed. Look at what happened to the past. Look when God judged sin. Look when God dealt with sin. Whenever God deals with sin, it's not a good thing. You know, and even them, they knew when God, where had they just come from to come back and rebuild the temple? Where were they at? In Babylon. They were part of the group that Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, destroyed all their, everything they had was taken from them, including some of their sharpest kids that went with Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They lost everything. So, and they knew it was because of sin. They knew it was because God was dealing with their sin. So if anybody should have understood the fact that, but see, God deals with sin because he's God, he's holy, he's righteous, but he wants us to learn from it. Boy, there's some folks who God has dealt with in this world. People you know of. They should put in your mind that past judgments are a warning for us to turn from our sin. And so the idea behind this second group he's talking to is he said, just don't go back and build the temple, but be committed to building the temple. Be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just not enough to say, well, I'm going to go once in a while to church. And I'm bringing it in our terminology. It's once in a while, I'll grab my Bible and read it. No, that's not going to get it, folks. He's saying if we're going to make this what God wants it to become, and we're going to rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and bring Israel back to where it needs to be, you got to be committed. You know, I've told you that before. Faith Baptist Church is only as good as the people are committed to it. Because if people aren't committed to it, pretty soon it'll begin to change. Music will change. Standards will change. Philosophy will change. And pretty soon, 30 years down the road, you might not even recognize Faith Baptist Church as what you knew it to be one day. But you know, I've seen a lot of people, and I know a lot of people who left this church a long time ago and went to churches that aren't where they would have been at this church. But they just stick it out because, well, it's our church. It's where we go. That will happen. There needs to be that love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Now, is everybody going to do that? No. I don't think Zechariah was trying to get everybody to do that because the chances are he would have wanted that. But you have to have some folks. We call it the core that has to be committed, that has to be set on Bible and the Bible study and knowing God and knowing God's word and have a desire to build, help us build Faith Baptist Church. Boy, you get that committed crowd and 40 years from now, this church won't be much different than it is right now. And I wasn't here when this was started, but there are, were you charter members, Tom? Right after. There's some charter members, and I'm interested to see what Chuck Kemp says. He was a charter member. I'd like to think after 45 years, he says, same old stuff. I'd like to hear him say the building looks nicer because we've really tried to fix it up. You've done a lot to add to it. The auditorium looks beautiful. But it's about what we started with. That's what I want to hear. Not that we don't need to get in this age, and I think things are different somewhat in 45 years. But not a lot. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The book never changes. I'm pretty sure what Pastor Simmons preached as the first pastor of this church is the same thing I'm preaching today. 45 years from now, if the Lord tarries his return, how does Faith Baptist Church stay what it is? Because some of you have come from churches that aren't anywhere today what they used to be when you first were there. I think that's what Zechariah is saying. If we're going to make this what it needs to be, not just rebuilding the temple, but there's got to be a commitment. God judges sin. So if you're not working for him, I'm just going to tell you it's sin. But number two, God judges sin, and those judgments that are there, they're for you to learn, to cause us to have that commitment to God, that God will use us in a wonderful way. So I think that's what he's talking about in the second group. Then thirdly, you'd find in here, and he goes from all the negative to a little bit of a positive here, quite a bit of a positive. He says, thirdly, obedience brings blessing. And you'd find that as you read this, and I don't have time because I need to be done on time, but you'd find it in there, obedience does bring blessing. Sin brings judgment, but obedience brings blessing. This point is emphasized in Zechariah's message. This is what the Lord Almighty says in the fact he said, return to me and I will what? I will return to you. That's the idea. It doesn't come out and say that obedience brings blessing in those words. But he says, if you return to me, I will what? I'll return to you. The point is clear. If the people return to God, God will return to the people and he'll bless them. When God returns to the people, you'll receive the blessing of God. When we remember back what God said through Haggai, he quoted to Israel in that sermon. He told them to consider your ways. And then you've heard me repeat this time and time again, but it's so awesome. He said, consider how things were before one stone was laid upon another in the Lord's temple. You laid the foundation and then you quit for 15 years. But consider your ways. Remember what it was when anybody came to heap up 20 measures of meal and there was only 10. When anyone came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there was only 20. Now they had, but not in abundance, not in a blessing. And I think there's a lot of Christians out there that have, but not in abundance. They don't have, and I'm not talking necessarily physical, because in the Old Testament, they were promised physical blessing. But in the New Testament, you've never been promised physical blessing. You know what you've been promised? Spiritual blessings, joy, peace, love, long-suffering. Goodness, heaven, all of them are spiritual blessings. So don't sit back and say, I'm poor and God hasn't blessed me. That's not how God blesses today. But he blesses in ways that in our families, in our homes, just in the joy we have and the responses we can have, the things we can do. You know, the Lord said he struck all the works with their hands. When you weren't laying the foundation, he said, "I all the work in your hands, I put blight and mildew and hail. And that didn't even cause you to return unto me. The Lord asked them if there was any thought to the fact that there was no seed left in the barn. When the barn was empty, didn't it cross your mind that God's not blessing us because we're not doing what he's told us to do? And you know what? wow, today, I know family after family or people after people come into my office and say, man, my life's just falling apart. What would that tell you? What should that tell you? I need to get back to God. But they're oblivious to it. Pastor, give us a cure. And our marriage is just falling apart. Tell us what we need to do. Easy. Get back to God. Get back to church. Get back to reading the Bible. Get back to spending time in prayer together. Get back to walking with God and transform your life. That's what he's saying. He said, didn't it even cross your mind when you came in to get seed, to plant, and there was no seed left in the barn? Again, the passage, in a certain sense, is a commentary on Zechariah. That's exactly what he's saying. Up to this 24th day of the sixth month, the people had been disobeying the Lord out of twisted priorities and motives. They'd been serving themselves and their own lives, and they took care of their own houses. They took care of their own businesses. They established themselves for 15 years. When the whole purpose of leaving Babylon and the way that money was gathered and people gathered money and Darius set, opened the door for them to come back, it was all to rebuild the temple. And they did it for 3 years and laid the foundation, but then they quit. Didn't you see that your work was not prospering? You know, your fields did not flourish. Their vines and trees had not borne the fruit they could have. But they responded to Haggai's message and obeyed God and began to build. And God said, when that happens, know this, that you'll be spared from blight and mildew and hail. You would see fig and pomegranate olive trees begin to produce fruit in abundance. The vines will flourish. The wine vats will be full again. The house of the seed will be full. Again, that's a remarkable promise to the material blessings predicted by a life of obedience to God's people. That's what Zechariah is trying to say. But more in spiritual terms. Here's what he's saying. Return to me, and I'll return to you. You've heard this before, because I've given it to you before, but it fits very well, and I'm going to give it again. But James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves to God, and then do what? Then resist the devil. Here's where you get it wrong. You know what you try to do? You try to resist the devil. And you know what? The devil is more powerful than you are. So he said, draw near to God, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and then he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Then James is saying the same thing that Zechariah is saying, return to me, return to God, and God will return to you. Again, I tell you this often, and I think, this is on. You know, and you've seen me do this before, but let's let the pulpit represent God. God is unchanging, is he not? If the air conditioner were working, I'd be walking that way. But that's working. The pulpit represents God. He's unchangeable. Has he changed one, in all eternity, has he changed one iota? No. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the God we see when we get to heaven will be the same God that Moses saw, sort of, on the mount. At least the hindsight of God. He's unchanging. He's unmovable. God never moves. God doesn't draw away from you. God never moves. He's a rock. He's known as a rock that comes out of heaven in the book of Daniel and in Revelation. You find God is that rock. Jesus Christ is the rock. I think the rock that Moses smote and water came out was who? Jesus Christ. He's the rock. Unchanging, unmovable. Okay, there he is. But if I move, I'm getting farther away from God. Did God move? Who moved? I did. See, for some reason I hear people say, God's just moved away from me. No, God didn't move. God loves you the exact same when you got saved or when you're a disobedient child. God's love never changes. And you know, as a parent, you can relate to this. You know, I loved my son when he was really good. But you know what? I still love my son when he was sort of bad. I can't tell you he was really bad because he was a pretty good kid. My daughter the same way. We never battled serious issues with them whatsoever. You know, maybe that they didn't read their Bible that day. You know, those are the issues I would have dealt with them. They just had a sweet spirit about him. But I've watched as people say, oh, God's just moved away from me. God's moved. No. God didn't move. Who moved? You did. I did. So the farther I draw away from God, I can say it like this, the farther God draws away from me. But that makes it sound like God's moving, but God never moves. He's still there. When I draw away from God, he draws away from me, but not because he moved, because I moved. That's where Israel was. I mean, God was the exact same as the same God who brought him out of Egypt, the same God who led him into the land of Canaan, the same God who performed the miracles. He never changed. But Israel moved. They went after other idols. They went after other gods. They wanted to be like the world, and they wanted a king like the world had, and they wanted to be like the world. And the more they did, the farther they moved away from God. And now what Zechariah is saying is, return unto me, and what? God will return unto you. But God's not going to move. God can't move. So the only way for God to get closer to me is what? I get closer to him. When I move closer to God, guess what? God's getting closer to me. Man, I'm gonna commit. I'm gonna start reading my Bible, and not just to read it. I'm gonna try to find God in it. I wanna find some truth. But if you commit to that, God just gets closer to you. You begin to see God in a different light. See you. Oh, God just moved. No, God didn't move. God just seems so far. My prayer is like hitting the ceiling. It's not because God's moved. It's not because Jesus Christ isn't there giving intercession for you. But you feel like that because you moved. But he said, return unto me, and I will return unto you. I'm telling you, the more you walk with God, the closer you get to God, the closer he gets to you. And you see things from a different perspective. You see things in light of his word. You see things in light of eternity. When you're close to God, he shows you things that everything's in the Bible. I think there's some of you who see some things that others don't see. Because when tragedy comes, you trust him. When battles come, you trust him. When financial problems come, you trust him. Boy, the first thing this person does, oh, I need money. They call people and beg for money. You know the first thing this person does? He just takes it to God. Because he sees things differently. That's what he's saying. He's saying, return to me. And when God returns to you, he's going to bless you. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, to fill those wine vats, bats, just boom. To fill the storehouse, boom. to give you thousands of dollars?
Boom.
That's nothing to God. You know, I think when you walk with God and know God, you know, my cousins were going through Aunt Ev. You know how much I cared for her, and COVID changed her, and I wish you could have saw the Aunt Ev that started at the church, not the Aunt Ev that got hit with COVID. She had a real heart for this church. And so Philip and Doug are finally getting through with all her stuff. And like a true Tannis, like my dad, she had money everywhere. My dad had money in pockets. My dad had money in the freezer. My dad had money, 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 money. Mom says, when I die, you better go through the whole house. They found about $1,400. They said, you know what? Mom would want us to give this to the church. And so I got a check this week for the church for $1,400 from a lady who's been in heaven for quite some time now. God just keeps blessing. I can't tell you we're a perfect church because you got an imperfect pastor. But I've never seen God bless a church. He just keeps giving and giving. But that's the key. When the church is over here, I don't think you get it. But return unto me, and I'll return unto you. Draw close to God, and he'll draw close to you. And God will answer things that are just absolutely amazing. Say, I just don't feel like God's answering our prayer. Well, where are you praying from? Where are you asking from? You know, that's up to you. See, Zechariah said, obedience does bring blessing. But he didn't come out and say that. He just said, return unto God, and he will return to you. And boy, when God's right next to you, folks, nothing can go wrong. It's all right, because he's a sovereign, almighty God. It's all right, whatever happens. But you don't get it from over there. You get it from here. Draw nigh to God. Return unto me. Return unto God, he said. God will return unto you. If you feel like you're not in a good spot with God right now, don't blame God. He didn't move. He's right where he was when you got saved. He's right where you were when maybe there was a time you lived for the Lord. He loves you the exact same as he loved you from the foundation of this world. But maybe you moved. Not him. Return unto God, and he will return unto you.